Thank you. I can't get enough of the remnant. So we're doing a bonus seminar lesson this Sunday about remnant Gentiles, a subject that was not the main theme of our seminar last week, which was about the remnant of Israel. But a topic excluded from last week's seminar was, what about the Gentiles? And there's a teaching in the Bible about the remnant of Gentiles as well. It is not the remnant of Israel, but it has to do with Gentiles. And so I thought it might be fun, a little addendum or bonus lesson this week to talk about that, continuing to talk about the remnant idea in the Scripture and what about those Gentiles. When we look at the Scripture, as we saw last weekend, Israel, the remnant of Israel, but Israel is the major plot of Bible prophecy. All the prophets were to Israel and of Israel and spoke of Israel's future kingdom and God's kingdom on the earth and how the world will be blessed through them. But they're the major plot of Bible prophecy. But there is a subplot to prophecy. And that subplot is not a mystery kept secret since the world began, but it's spoken of in prophecy as well. In Genesis 22, verse 18, we have in Genesis 22 where God talks about Isaac and offering Isaac up as a sacrifice, which he prohibits at one point. But after Abraham obeys God, he gives Abraham this blessing. It says, "In blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." Now that part of the promise we're familiar with. That's the promise to Israel, and we covered last week how it's the remnant of Israel, or faithful Israel, that will receive the blessings inherent in the salvation promises given to them. But the next verse says, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." So we have Abraham, the first father of Israel, then Isaac and Jacob, whom this promise is repeated to. This promise of being a blessing to all the nations is throughout the Scripture, starting in Genesis. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, the nations. And that's what the word Gentile means, or Gentiles, means of the nations, or the nations, plural, not of Israel, okay? But in the Bible, even though Israel is the major character, national character, God intended Israel not to be exclusively blessed, but to bless the whole world as a channel of blessing. Okay, so there is an aspect where the Gentiles relate to Israel, and particularly the remnant of Israel, and we'll see hopefully through today's lesson it's a remnant of Gentiles as well. So the blessing of the nations, or the Gentiles, is bound to the covenants of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those covenants given to them, the covenants given to David and sure mercies, the covenants given through Moses and the law, that law was to make them separate as a nation so that they could bless the other nations. So all these covenants given to Israel were intended ultimately to bring God's glory and blessing to the whole world, all the nations. So let's cover some of the prophecies about that. Look at Romans chapter 15 in verse 8. Now, before we get into these prophecies, let's just make sure our brains are oriented correctly. The blessing of nations is a part of prophecy. We just saw this in Genesis 22. We'll see that here in many verses. That means it is not a mystery. It's very easy, and people make this simplistic error, even in dispensational churches, where they think if they see Gentiles, it must be the church. If they see blessing of Gentiles, it must be the mystery. It's not true. I just read Genesis 22, where to Abraham and the covenants given to Israel through Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the Gentiles will be blessed. The nations will be blessed, okay? This is a part of prophecy, not mystery. This is not a new creature. This is spoken of in the Scripture. But Paul knows these Scriptures about Gentile blessing. In Romans 15, verse 8, a verse that you're familiar with, Paul says, "I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision," that's Israel, "for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers." We just read those promises. And those promises, first and foremost, bless Israel, right? And so in Romans 15, verse 8, Jesus came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel to talk about those promises of how they were to get blessing. And we saw last week's seminar, the way Israel would get blessed would be through those covenants and through faith in him, the Messiah. They had to believe in the Messiah or they would not receive the blessing of those promised covenants. But look at Romans 15, verse 9. The sentence continues. Paul says Jesus was a minister of that, the promises to the fathers. But what did those promises include? Not just Israel. Those promises included blessing all the nations of the world, right? We just read it. And that's why verse 9, Romans 15, 9, Paul says, "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written," and he quotes the prophets, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he says, "Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people." That's in Deuteronomy 32. And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people." And so he quotes prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, talking about how the promises to the fathers that Jesus came to confirm for Israel would end up blessing Gentiles. Okay? And so this is what I want to deal with this morning, these Gentiles. Now, you can't read these Gentile prophecies and say, oh, those must be talking about the church, the body of Christ. That's prophesied Gentiles. That's Gentiles blessed through Israel, God's people of prophecy, right? The covenant people. This is not a new creature. In fact, in the body of Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. So you get saved in the body, you're neither one anymore. Amen. So Gentiles in the body aren't being blessed by Israel. We're in the body of Christ being blessed by our head directly. You're no more a Gentile. You're not of the nations. The body of Christ is not a nation at all. You're a different thing, a new creature. Amen. Let's go back to Psalm 22, verse 27, and look more at some of these prophecies about Gentiles. Psalm 22. It is a gross oversimplification to think that Jesus spoke of Israel alone and Paul went to Gentiles. Paul ministered to Jews too. Amen. We heard that last week. And Jesus had some ministry to Gentiles, specifically through the blessings given to Israel. Psalm 22, verse 27. All the ends of the world shall remember. Now, you might recall this chapter as being the one that Jesus references on the cross. Remember that? Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he quotes this chapter because this chapter speaks about his ultimate purpose. So he quotes the beginning of a chapter talking about why, what he is going to accomplish while he's dying. Now, Psalm 22, 27, at the end of this chapter, he says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. Who turns to the Lord? All the ends of the world. That's not just Israel. All the kindreds of the nations, that's the Gentiles, shall worship before thee. This is what God intends to happen. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Do you see this? So here's Christ prophetically reigning on the earth, and the whole world remembers and turns to him, and he's the governor not just of Israel, but of all the world, all the nations, right? And so there's a prophecy about the nations of the world and Gentiles. Look at Psalm 68, verse 32. Psalm 68, verse 32. And I'm just cherry picking some of these passages because there's plenty of verses that talk about this. And so this is just to introduce you to the subject. Because there's so much scripture that talk about Israel's prophetic purpose and God's prophecy for the world, there's many verses that talk about these Gentiles as well. Psalm 68, verse 32. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Is that just Israel? Nope, these are Gentiles. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord. Psalm 68, 32 says. Psalm 97, verse 1. Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigns. I wonder when this verse is talking about. This is Israel's kingdom. This is the kingdom of God come to earth. And when that happens, says the Lord reigns, let the nation of Israel rejoice. Well, other verses talk like that, but this one says, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. The isles of the sea, the Gentiles, the other nations, those beyond the sea. Let the isles be glad thereof. So over and over again, this theme is repeated. Psalm 98, verse 1 through 4. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord, so has he accomplished his will here? Yes, he's got the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. This isn't Israel. Didn't Paul declare his ministry as an apostleship to the heathen? Amen. He did. According to a mystery. Paul's not communicating the fulfillment of all prophecy. In fact, he goes to great lengths in Romans 9, 10, 11 to explain that God's not done fulfilling prophecy with Israel. I'm going to show you today where these Gentiles are connected with Israel. What's happening today to Jew and Gentile is a mystery in God's purpose that was not spoken of before. But this is speaking of the end when God's victory is attained for the earth and his salvation is known in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. See verse 3? So this is when God remembers what he promised to Israel. And when he does that, it says, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. When do the nations see the salvation of God? When he remembers his covenants to Israel. And he comes back and gets the victory for his people Israel. See, Israel would be the channel of blessing through which Christ would come to the earth and reign over the whole world. And thus, verse 5, sing unto the Lord, or verse 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise the whole earth, because he remembered Israel's covenants. And when he does that, the whole world will know. Amen. Side note, you know what's not going on today? The whole world is not knowing God's salvation because of Israel over there in the Middle East. That's not what's going on. But that's what this verse says will happen when God remembers his covenants with them. So for us to think that today God's remembering his covenants to Israel today because of what's going on over there is not biblically aligned, is it? Not in this verse anyway. Look at Isaiah 19. Another reason to study this issue of the remnant Gentiles and Gentiles' relation to remnant Israel is because when you see the connection of the world to Israel, you'll recognize one more detail, an important one, about how God will bring Israel back, how God will return them. One of the final sessions last week's seminar was the return of the remnant. And the point of that session was that we talk about Israel's return in the future, and we take the Bible literally, and yet when we talk about Israel's return, it's not all of Israel that returns. It's the remnant of Israel. It's faithful Israel. It's Israel that receives the kingdom that returns. The rest get purged away. But there's another group of people in that kingdom. It's not just remnant Israel. There are Gentiles there. Amen. But not all Gentiles either. Look at Isaiah 19, verse 18. In that day, Isaiah talks a lot about the coming king and his kingdom. In that day shall five cities in the land of, shouldn't it say Israel there? No, Egypt, speak the language of Canaan and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. It shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior, a great one. He shall deliver them. Who's this talking about? This is talking about Egypt. Now, are Egyptians, they're not Jews. No, they're not God's covenanted people. Nope, they're Gentiles. In that day, Gentiles will be serving the Lord. The Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day. When does that ever happen? It hasn't. And shall do sacrifice and oblation. These Gentiles are sacrificing. That's a whole other question. People don't even know why Jews sacrifice in the kingdom, let alone Gentiles. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it. And the Lord shall smite Egypt, and he shall smite and heal it. So the smiting here has to do with healing it. And they shall return even to the Lord, and he shall be entreated of them and shall heal them. In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrians shall come into Egypt, the Egyptian to Assyria, and the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. Because in that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land. Whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, this is what the Lord's going to say, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. See, Israel's not excluded here. In fact, Israel is the inheritance of the Lord. But the other nations at this time will also be God's people. Right? Now, do you see where people get confused? They say, well, this must be the church. We're God's people. We're Gentiles. But Israel's not today his inheritance. There is no Jew or Gentile in the body of Christ. And this is talking about a land and the performance of that religion in their land, and that's not the body of Christ either. We have no land, right? This is not about the whole world worshiping the Lord. That's never happened, folks. That will happen when the inheritance of the Lord, Israel, returns. Amen. All right? And so Isaiah 19 here talks about, in that day, Egypt's my people. Isaiah 14. This is all over Isaiah. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them. Who are the strangers? Not Israel. So you have Israel and you have strangers, and God is bringing Israel back, and then there's strangers that come with them. Strangers mean they're not Israel. These are Gentiles. He brings Israel back, and Gentiles come back with them. That's what he's saying here. And they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. Now, again, remember who you are in the body of Christ, which is why when you fail to see the mystery, you get caught up in these prophecies saying, this is us. As a member of the body of Christ, we are not cleaved to the house of Jacob. Amen. In fact, one of the distinctions of the mystery body of Christ is that you do not need Israel to be saved or blessed with the Lord Jesus Christ. But this verse says, when he brings Israel back, then the Gentiles come. Okay. Israel, you don't need Israel to come back for you to be blessed in the body of Christ, for you to be saved by Christ Jesus today in this dispensation. What's happening today is not according to this prophecy. It's a mystery. But we see both Jews and Gentiles here coming back in Israel's kingdom. Okay, in the kingdom of Christ on earth. In Jeremiah 16, verse 19, I'll just read it to you here. Jeremiah says, O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. This is not Israel's repentance. This is the Gentile repentance. Gentiles claiming to the Lord God that our fathers, the Gentile fathers, have inherited lies, vanity, and things where there's no profit. Well, how true is that? Yeah, we can say amen to that with our own country and other countries. You say, well, not the fathers of America. Well, the Gentiles will come to the Lord and say, we're serving you, right? We want to be identified with you. Jeremiah 16:19. Again, this is not something that's happening today. Okay. Look at Revelation 15:3. You see it in Revelation. A book talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ come to earth to establish his kingdom through Israel. You don't find the church, the body of Christ, but you do find Gentiles. So once again, unless you understand the prophecy about Israel, remnant Israel, and remnant Gentiles, you might think that here you are right here. Revelation 15, verse 3. Verse 2 says, I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the name of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. You can go back there. We just studied on this years ago. The song of Moses is back in Deuteronomy. And the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. Nations, Gentiles, that's who that is. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple, the tabernacle, and the testimony of heaven was opened. So again and again you see nations in Revelation that are being saved. Ultimately, they won't all be saved until the kingdom, but you see some of them saved out of the great tribulation. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 2. If you turn to the book of Matthew and turn left, you get Zechariah. Malachi, then Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 2, often seen as a cryptic book. Many passages talk about the kingdom come to Israel and Christ's return. His return to conquer the world. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 11. Verse 10 says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Zion is Jerusalem. For lo, I come and I dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. What is happening here? That's a pretty easy verse to interpret. The Lord is coming to Zion and is dwelling there. Right? This fulfills many other prophecies to Israel, where God himself will dwell with his people Israel. Notice verse 11. And, now what's the time frame again? The Lord's dwelling in Israel. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. Nations, Gentiles. So we join the Lord that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. How do they know the Lord of hosts has sent him to Israel? Because they'll see him there, and nations will come to see the Lord, and they'll know that the Lord has saved Israel. It's very clear. No one can go to Jerusalem today and see the Lord. He's not there. You say, well duh, that's duh theology, Justin. But this is when the nations are joined to the Lord. But people will rip Zechariah 2, verse 11 out of its context and say the nations joined to the Lord with Israel is what the body of Christ is. The body of Christ are Jews and Gentiles, who are no longer Jews and Gentiles, joined together in one body, but the Lord is not dwelling in Zion. So to take verse 11 and make it today, you have to spiritualize verse 10. And that's exactly what they do. Well, the Lord's dwelling in the midst of us, like we're the temple, right? So he's dwelling inside of us. And so this is happening. But this is where those who took the Bible literally a couple hundred years ago started going, wait, no. Zion's a place, and prophecies talk about the Lord coming to earth, and so verse 10 has to happen before verse 11. Amen. Just like it's written there. Verse 12 says, the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. That's the remnant return of Israel. And so the prophecies are literal, speaking of Israel's return, and literal, speaking of the nations joining to the Lord. And it's that, those nations that I'm talking about this morning. Look at Zechariah chapter 8, verse 22. I think someone asked about this during our seminar. We can back up verse 20 to get the context here. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord. Why are they going to pray before the Lord? Because the Lord is on earth. Amen. And to seek the Lord of hosts, I will go also. People will go, let's go see the Lord. Now, if only that were true today. If the Lord were here, you know how easy your evangelism would be? Trust Jesus Christ. He's over there. Right? That's not your message though, right? What's that? Trust Jesus. Who's Jesus? Like 2,000 years ago, he's dead, isn't he? Yeah, he rose from the dead. Oh, you say so. Yeah, I do. He's in heaven. But if he's sitting over there, that's a lot easier to show people. In fact, they've seen him come back because every eye shall see his return. But here they'll say, let's go visit him. Let's go pray to the Lord. And in verse 22, yea, many people and strong nations, there's Gentiles, shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. Gentiles are not going to Jerusalem to seek the Lord of hosts today. It's not going on. And to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations. There's Gentiles again. Even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. This is not Americans paying airfare for Jews to go back to the land of Israel. Okay? These are Gentiles saying, take us with you. We know the Lord's over there. That's what this is. So, what happened to God bless America, right? Here, it's God's blessing Israel is what's going on. And so people are going to see the Lord quite literally. Now, you see many prophecies, and this is just a handful of the examples of prophecies about the Gentile nations being blessed and how God's purpose is that through Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the nations of the world be blessed. And yet, just like we learned last weekend, where only a remnant of Israel is saved, Paul says, though Israel be as the sand of the sea, which God promised to do, and he did, only a remnant shall be saved. Just like a remnant is saved and blessed in Israel, likewise with the Gentiles. We see all these passages saying that all the nations and all the nations will come and worship the Lord and rejoice. Well, that's all the nations after God has removed the unfaithful part. Amen. And so there's a remnant, that which remains of the nations that are fulfilling these prophecies, that are blessed by Israel. Okay. So how do you know that? Look at Zechariah 14. I've been showing you passages talking about all the nations being blessed, and this is all kingdom passages when the Lord dwells on the earth. Zechariah 14, verse 16. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. These nations going up to see the Lord, they're what remain of the nations. What happened to the rest? Zechariah 14, verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord comes, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Down in verse 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. He comes back to fight the nations, to overturn the kings of this world, to destroy all of those that oppose him and oppose his people. Down in verse 9, it says, it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, and the summer and the winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord and his name one. So you see what's going on here? The Lord came back and poured out his judgment and wrath on the kingdoms of this world, the nations, the Gentiles of this world, all those, let's say it more clearly, who reject him. You see this all over the book of Revelation as well. And after he judges, I mean, Revelation, you have a third of the world dying multiple times. Okay, these are Jews and Gentiles. And after this purging, after this wrath, after this judgment, those that remain in Israel, Israel becomes that blessed nation. And those that remain of the Gentiles go to that nation to get blessed. That's how that works. And so just as remnant Israel gets the blessing of the kingdom, it's the remnant of Gentiles after that judgment and wrath that receive the kingdom as well. All right. And so this is the prophetic teaching of remnant Gentiles. Sometimes we talk about the remnant, including Gentiles. People go, well, how are Gentiles a remnant? Well, not the remnant of Israel, but they're those that remain of the Gentiles. Well, what does that mean? After God judges them, there are faithful Gentiles, you know. There have always been faithful Gentiles, those that would bless the Lord. You can find instances after instances in the Bible about those, blessing Abraham even. Gentiles never take Israel's covenants in the Bible. You don't, they don't. They're not here saying in the prophecies the Gentiles will replace Israel. You see every prophecy so far, it's Israel that gets blessed, the Gentiles get blessed through them, right? And by the way, those prophecies happen after Israel killed their Messiah, right? After Israel's sins, after judgment upon Israel, after the finishing of the transgressions. What God does is saves Israel, and purges them, so that they can be a blessing to the Gentiles. But the Gentiles do not take Israel's covenants. They don't sit in Israel's seat. They don't take their land or their city, but they will be blessed through Israel. And that makes these Gentiles not you.
Amen.
They're blessed through Israel. You're blessed despite Israel. You're blessed in a mystery body, the body of Christ. Amen. You can only claim a blessing because Christ himself gave it to you by his grace, not according to the covenants, not according to the law, not according to Israel, not according to the prophecies. These Gentiles, however, receive the blessing of God on earth through Israel. Now, the Israel that is a blessing and receives the promises, that's what we learned about last week. What is the Israel that receives these promises and kingdom? It's not all of Israel. It's faithful Israel, right? Faithful Israel becomes kingdom Israel. That's who that is. Look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. Look at how Gentiles get blessed in the day of Israel's blessing. We covered some of these passages last week, trying to point out the prophecies of remnant Israel, how the blessed Israel is faithful Israel, those that receive the Lord and believe the Lord and receive the Messiah and follow the Messiah. Well, there are Gentiles that can do that too. Isaiah 11, verse 10, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. Who's the root of Jesse? That's the son of David, Jesus Christ, right? To it shall the Gentiles seek. Paul says, to him shall the Gentiles trust, and his rest shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. We covered that last week. Israel, the remnant of Israel is going to return, and it shows a path of how they're going to return, Isaiah 11. And he says, this sign, this root of Jesse, is going to bring the remnant back, and Gentiles are going to trust him too. That's what it says. So it's not that Gentiles here are simply being blessed by the existence of Israel. They're being blessed by following this root of Jesse who brings the remnant back. You see, Gentiles get blessed by remnant Israel, not all of Israel. Look at Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Popular passage, also quoted in Micah, again about Christ reigning as king on the earth in Israel. So you can quote Isaiah 2 talking about Israel's future kingdom, Israel's return. It's not all of Israel, it's the remnant of Israel. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills, and all Gentiles shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths. Political Israel today could not teach God's laws if it tried.
Amen.
They don't know. They're unbelievers. You understand? This prophecy is fulfilled when all of Israel is saved, not simply believing the law of Moses, but believing the one to whom Moses spoke of, which is the root of Jesse, Jesus. Because the Lord, Jesus, will be there. And they'll say, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, because the Lord is in Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nations. The purpose of Israel's kingdom is for God to dwell on earth, judging the nations, like to institute justice on the earth, right? It's not simply that there's Christ's kingdom there and the rest of the earth goes to pot. You know, it's like he's there to give justice to the whole world through his people Israel. That's why at that time the whole nation is a nation of priests. Yeah. What do you do with a whole nation of priests? It often befuddles me why Christians think, and I know this is heretical based on some people's beliefs, that the whole body of Christ are all priests. It's called the priesthood of believers. You ever heard of this? Now, to the extent of the idea that there's no mediator between God and man except for Christ Jesus, therefore all of us go directly to the Lord, like priests used to only exclusively go to the Lord, then yes, but that's not all that a priest is. Like, we're members of the body of Christ. We're not priests. A priest is someone who mediates with someone else, and that's not what you are. Once you preach the gospel to someone and they get saved, guess what? Who they don't need? You, right? You're not a priest. But Israel was destined to be a nation of priests. And you might ask, well, who are they mediating with? The Gentiles. You have the Lord dwelling in the land of Israel and his priests around him. And then you have the Gentiles. Well, who's the one that gets to determine who gets to see the Lord next? The priests. Who's the one that receives the sacrifices of the Gentiles to give to the Lord? The priests. So the whole nation is a nation of priests. And all the Gentiles come to that nation to get to the Lord. They can't get to the Lord except through that nation. Didn't we just read in Zechariah 8? They're grabbing a Jew and say, take us to your leader, you know. They can't get to him except through them. That's what you call a priest. That's not true about you. Someone can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved by him without going through you. You don't need a pastor or a priest or any other member of the body of Christ to be saved. You only need a member of the body of Christ and all that to do ministry together. That's just something else entirely. So we're in Isaiah 2 here, right? We're talking about the Lord on earth in Israel executing justice or judgment among the nations. He shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. He will finally, and for the first time ever, bring peace on earth. Sometimes world leaders like to claim to be peacemakers, and that's not a bad thing to bring peace. I mean, we look forward to the Lord bringing peace on earth. But all of them have failed to institute that peace over the whole earth, okay? A lasting peace over the whole earth, but the Lord will. And so it says in verse 5, O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. When do the nations, when do these Gentiles get blessed? When Israel is blessed and the Lord dwells with them in their kingdom. When the Lord executes justice in the earth, that's when these nations receive this blessing through Israel. Look at Isaiah 49, verse 6. We're talking about Gentiles being blessed by remnant Israel. Who gets that kingdom, Isaiah 2? Who's on that mountain? It's not all of Israel. It's remnant Israel. It's faithful Israel, those who believe in the Lord. When Jesus came, if any Israelite did not believe him, but rather stumbled over him, they would not get into that kingdom. We'll see in a bit here. Jesus himself taught that. Isaiah 49, verse 6. As is my custom, I'll read verse 5 first. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. God prophesied that the Messiah would bring Jacob back. And this prophecy says, that's a light thing. You've seen nothing yet to raise the tribe of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. Who are the preserved of Israel? Those that remain after God judges them with the nations. Read Isaiah 4 for more. The preserved of Israel are those who receive God's blessing of protection. Christians talk about the hedge of protection. That was only given to Israel, mentioned in Job once, as covenantally given to Israel when they trusted the Lord and obeyed his commandments. Preserved of Israel is the remnant of Israel. We covered that last weekend. But he says, it's a light thing. Thou shalt be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved of Israel in their kingdom. Peter asked Jesus on his way up, he said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Who's that make Peter? The preserved of Israel. What's he looking for? This restoration. Bring this kingdom. Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times. But the verse is saying, it's a light thing that will happen. He's going to do that. He says, I will, but that's not done. When he preserves Israel and brings them to their kingdom, that's not it. That's not the end there. He says, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel. When does Israel get redeemed? In their kingdom, right? When did the preserved of Israel get restored in their kingdom? When Christ comes back to the earth. So when are they a light to the nations? When that occurs, right? These prophecies fit together. when you start twisting them to make them apply to you, like, well, we're Gentiles and his salvation is going to the world now, it's only been instructed to you to preach it to the world. But salvation isn't being received by the world, you understand? They're not seeing it. We live in a dark time, folks. The only light is you, the body of Christ, God's word, preaching it, and many get saved to the praise and glory of God's grace, but the world's still dark. But when the Lord comes back as a shining light to the nation of Israel, they will be a city on a hill, and the whole world will be filled with his glory. Amen. And it says over and over again, the nations will see, the Gentiles will see that glory, that salvation, when Israel gets redeemed. Gentiles in the Old Testament, many of them were punished for not blessing Israel. Remember that? If they fought against Israel, the Edomites and others, God would punish them. The whole book of Obadiah and others prophesy against Edom, Esau's house, because they were fighting against Israel. Israel was in a war, and Edom helped their enemies. Not good. And so God punishes them. God destroys them. You curse Israel, you get cursed. You bless Israel, you get blessed. I'm trying to show you here that the blessing that Gentiles get, according to prophecy, is not of all of Israel, but of obedient Israel, of blessed Israel, faithful Israel. Gentiles in the Old Testament were not punished for being God's arm of justice against Israel. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, and many other Gentiles who came to execute God's judgment against the nation of Israel were not punished for being God's arm of judgment. And they were. Isaiah 14, other places, prophesy of how God will send judgment to Israel through the Assyrians or through the Babylonians, the Gentiles. Habakkuk says the same thing. Habakkuk saying, how long, Lord, before you get rid of the injustice in my nation? Habakkuk was decrying the political injustice in Israel. And he says, please come back and deal with this. And God says, I will. I'm going to bring a huge Gentile nation to deal with it. And this throws Habakkuk in a world. He goes, wait a minute. They're Gentiles. I'm going to use them as my arm of justice. But the Gentiles were never punished for being God's arm of justice against Israel because Israel themselves were in disobedience to God. But Gentiles were punished for cursing the Lord of the remnant of Israel. And this is what happened to the Assyrians and the Babylonians. They went too far. They didn't just execute judgment against those who disobeyed God in Israel. Instead, they cursed the God of Israel and cursed the remnant of believing Israel. There's your problem. And therefore, God prophesies against Babylon and Assyria and says, they're going down too because they cursed me. It's like Jehu. Remember Jehu? In Israel's history, God called Jehu to destroy the wicked king of Ahab. The king of Israel, he told Jehu to go destroy. Okay. But Jehu went further than what was needed, didn't he? Jehu not only killed the wicked king and queen Jezebel and Ahab, but he went further to kill the extent of their family and even further to those who were innocent. That was a problem. So God then says, you obeyed my instructions and then disobeyed me. And so I'll punish you for your disobedience. Right. So this happens over and over again in the scripture, that the blessing and the cursing, that God, the judgment that God gives to the nations or to Israel, is based on whether or not they're blessing faithful Israel or cursing faithful Israel. Many times Israel themselves are judged because of their disobedience, which gives us some information about even, again, application towards the idea that people need to bless Israel today or not. Well, are they faithful to the Lord or aren't they? Because if you bless those who are not faithful to the Lord, what are you saying? What are you doing? Right? Are you endorsing their idolatry? Are you endorsing their disbelief? The idea of blessing Israel, getting blessed, is that they were God's people following God's commands, and so you praise the God of Israel and his people Israel, not his faithless rebels, right? You don't do that. So Gentiles were punished for cursing the Lord of the remnant. Look at Luke chapter 7. You see the inverse here in Jesus' ministry. Look how Gentiles get blessed by blessing not simply the nation of Israel, but the remnant of Israel. Luke chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. This is Jesus going to Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, this is a Gentile, his servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Why is he requesting Jesus? Jesus was not the high priest. Jesus was not the ruler in Israel. He was none of that. He was a carpenter's son, walking around, preaching the kingdom is at hand, and that he was the Son of God. The centurion believed that. A Gentile said, he's the one. How would he know that? There's scriptures, you know. So he was hearing things and knowing things that even Jews didn't know from their own scriptures. Instead of going to the high priest in Israel saying, please heal my servant, he goes to Jesus. All right? And it says in verse 2, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. In verse 4, when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loves our nation and he has built us a synagogue. Now, it's important to point out here that this is how a Gentile would bless Israel, by financially blessing or protecting and that sort of thing. And here he builds a synagogue, and this guy had some wealth apparently. Okay? What's the problem with the synagogues? They're going to end up throwing Jesus out. Right? They're going to end up throwing Paul out. Then Jesus went with them. He said, okay, I'll go to this Gentile because he's blessing the nation. But he doesn't heal the servant yet. He wants to see what this Gentile is about. He already knows the Gentile called for him, which showed some faith in him. Jesus went with him, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter into my roof. Who's Jesus again? He's a Jew, but he's also the Son of God. He's not the high priest in Israel. He's not among the Pharisees there. Okay, verse 7. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. He believes that Jesus is who he says he is. Here's a Gentile who has been blessing Israel, but recognizes the Messiah of Israel and says, I know who you are, and I'm not worthy to be in your presence. So he goes through Jews, believing Jews. These aren't any Jews. He's not going down to the Department of Jewry and says, hey, can I get a Jew to go talk to the Messiah? Like, they're not doing that. When those vipers come to Jesus, he calls them vipers. Who's around Jesus? Believing Jews. He finds a believer. Hey, don't you follow that Jesus? Go. Believing Israel, who he blesses. Okay. And in verse 8, for I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and my servant, do this and do that. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, he turned him about. Here's the guy talking to Jesus. He turns around and said, look, everybody, look at this. He's making a display of him. I say unto you, he's talking to the crowd, right? I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So what do we got a picture of here? Israel without faith, except for those disciples that believe Jesus. Israel without faith, but this Gentile with faith. And Jesus says, blessing, not blessed. How did he get blessed? By blessing remnant Israel. It wasn't all of Israel. It was believing Israel. It was Israel's Messiah. It was Jesus of Israel. That's how he got the blessing. That's a picture of the kingdom. Jesus is teaching. It's not just going through Israel anymore. It's going through faithful Israel who believes in me. That's how you get blessed. That's what he's teaching in Luke chapter 7. But that's what we knew in the Old Testament as well. Isaiah 11 spoke about the root of Jesse. And all of Israel said, yes, we all will trust the root of Jesse until he shows up. Then most of them reject him, right? Matthew 15, we see another example of this happening. Remnant Gentiles. Now, why do I say remnant Gentiles? Because not all the Gentiles did this. There are many other Gentiles that donated things to Israel and did not believe Jesus was the Messiah, right? Now, the Messiah wasn't sent to them. Granted, he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But we see these Gentiles that knew Scripture, that knew the Messiah and trusted him. We see them kind of sneak through the cracks of Israel, getting a blessing by blessing faithful Israel. Matthew 15, you've heard this story before of the woman from Canaan. Okay, the whole woman of Canaan came out of the same coast in verse 22 and cried, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter's grievously vexed. How does she know who he is? Well, Scripture spoke of him. He's been doing some ministry. She could stand back and follow the leadership, the experts in Israel, or she could say, that's him. And that's what she does. So she's a little different than the other Gentiles, isn't she? Other Gentiles don't even care about Israel, or they might follow the experts in Israel. She is saying, that's the one. Amen. Following the Lord of Israel. And he says, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. He didn't answer her. In verse 23, the disciples came, besought him, saying, send her away. She cries after us. We're not sent to Gentiles. You told us not to go to Gentiles. We know the policy here, Jesus. Jesus told his disciples 5 chapters earlier, don't go to Gentiles. So they know his rules. He answers, even says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He tells her, look, I'm coming to Israel. I'm coming to bless them, to confirm their promises made to their fathers. Right? Then came she and worshipped him. She doubled down, worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You are the Lord. If not you, then who? But he answered and said, is it not meet to take children's bread and cast it to dogs? It's not appropriate. The kingdom's not here yet, Gentile. Right? And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall at the master's table. She understood, not just Romans 15, verse 8. She knew Romans 15, verse 9. She says, Lord, the Gentiles get blessed because of you and your people. She knew that. And he says, O woman, great is thy faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. She knew the word of God, that Gentiles get blessed by blessing Israel and their Messiah. And so when she saw the Messiah, she goes, you're the one that's going to bring this salvation to Israel. You're the one through which blessing comes to me. And that's what she said. This is not a mystery body. This is not a new creature. She's respecting him as the Jewish Messiah and herself as a Gentile and respecting the prophecies that Gentiles get blessed through them. Okay? Folks, if that's the mystery body of Christ, there is no mystery. Do you understand? What you have is different than this. Are there similarities? Of course. You get blessed by Jesus. You were a Gentile when you got saved. Likely, right? But you're made something different. You're made into a new creature, the body of Christ. And you get blessing without Israel. You get blessing from the head, Jesus Christ himself. So you're a different thing. This is a mystery. Gentiles getting blessed without Israel being blessed is the mystery. This is Gentile getting blessed through blessed Israel, through faithful Israel. It's a different channel of blessing. You say, well, you're splitting hairs here. Everyone gets blessed. It's all good. It has to do with what God's doing. Amen. Is God doing this or God doing that? If God's doing this, then you should find believing Israel and go bless them. But if God's doing what he's doing today in this dispensation, you only simply need to find the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of his grace, Amen. And trust that and get blessed. Where does your blessing come from? Right? Gentiles in prophecy, remnant Gentiles, those Gentiles who are faithful to the scripture that wasn't even given to them in the first place, but knew what God would do, they get blessed by remnant Israel. Look at Acts chapter 10. Now, who's Peter? Is Peter part of unbelieving or believing Israel? Believing Israel. That made him, according to our seminar last weekend, part of the remnant. Peter is the remnant of Israel, Acts 10, verse 35. He is sent by the Holy Ghost to a Gentile. This has got to be the church. Man, you can't get off it, can you? Every time you see a Gentile, you think it's the church. There are Gentiles all over the Bible, and none of it is the church, the body of Christ. Peter is pushed, Peter, the remnant of Israel, is pushed. Why is the Holy Ghost sending Peter to this Gentile? Why can't the Holy Ghost appear to the Gentile himself? Why can't the Lord appear to this Gentile? He appeared to Paul just a chapter before, right? Why can't he read the scripture? Well, there is no New Testament scripture yet. He sends Peter, believing, faithful Israel, to go bless this Gentile. Is that a picture of the body of Christ? Exactly, right? Wait until you get Gentiles preaching the gospel of Gentiles. There you get the body of Christ. Wait until you get Jews who say, there's no Jew or Gentile in the body of Christ. It's without the law. You're not under the law. That's the body of Christ. That's the mystery. But Acts 10, verse 35, what's Peter saying? By the way, Peter's the one learning in this chapter. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, which is always true, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. So Peter's learning here that in every nation, what's every nation? That's Gentiles. I perceive that Gentiles that fear him be accepted with him. And so he starts telling his message, how Jesus came to Israel, and you know, those who believe, like himself, receive this blessing, and we're going to receive this kingdom, going to come through that, and how he's preaching remission of sins through Jesus in his name, and they get the Holy Ghost, they start speaking in tongues. There's Gentiles that get a blessing from remnant Israel. The Holy Ghost didn't send the high priest of Israel, they sent Peter, a fisherman, who had the Holy Ghost because he was faithful Israel. He was true Israel. You see it again in Acts 11, verse 18, as Peter goes back to Jerusalem to explain what in the world happened, because he's still kind of confused about the situation. But he connects some dots here in Acts 11. He says in verse 14, who shall tell thee words? He says in verse 15, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on these Gentiles, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord. Now, we don't read about that in the previous chapter. I kind of think Peter put that connection together on the way back to Jerusalem. What am I going to tell these people? Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now who are those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's remnant Israel, isn't it? That's not the church, folks. You'll say the church began in Acts 2. Well, they didn't include Gentiles, if that were the case. They weren't preaching God's grace to all, if that were the case. And they weren't outside the law, if that were the case. That's a different church than what you and I know. Next 11, verse 17, he says, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, just like us, what was I that I could withstand God? Well, rightly so, Peter. Good for you. He's always on God's side. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God made a new creature, the body of Christ, where there's no Jew or Gentile. No, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That statement is nothing new. Prophecy, didn't we read a bunch of prophecies? How God was going to bless Gentiles, the whole world is going to worship the Lord God of Israel. What are they recognizing? It's beginning. A little early, but it's beginning. Isn't that what they're saying? He's granted to Gentiles repentance unto life. There's a question here. It's like, well, what about the rest of the nation of Israel? The rest of the nation. They're not included in the remnant, are they? Remnant Israel, blessing. By the way, is it every Gentile? Does Peter start now calling all the Gentiles to repentance? He doesn't. This is the first and last Gentile Peter went to with his message. And so we have remnant Israel going to remnant Gentiles, right? Those that were devout and faithful in Acts chapter 10 and received the blessing through remnant Israel. But what does this communicate? This communicates that unbelieving Israel doesn't get something that believing Gentiles do. Believing Gentiles get a kingdom blessing, whereas unbelieving Israel does not. It's not because Israel is discarded by God. It's because God works through remnant Israel to bless the remnant of the Gentiles.
Amen.
Well, aren't we supposed to bless Israel, Genesis chapter 12? Well, apart from the dispensational aspect that God's not blessing through Israel at all today, you get blessed through faithful Israel, not any Israelite. Okay? If that were the case, then you could be blessed by donating money to the pagan temples that the northern tribes of Israel created. That would be a problem, right? That was never the case. Let's turn to Acts 15. Go to the book of Acts here. Notice when James recognizes this. Acts 15, 13. Paul has to go to Jerusalem because there were some folks from Jerusalem teaching to Gentiles they needed to be circumcised to become Jews or bless Israel to get blessed and that sort of thing. And Paul's going, this ain't right. And so he goes to Jerusalem to have this disputation with them. Stop stepping on my territory. Stop telling these Gentiles to be circumcised and to come, you know, bow down at your statues, you know. Acts 15, they have a disputation. Peter suddenly raises up in the middle of the disputation and says in verse 7, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That was some while ago. Remember those Gentiles I was sent to? And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And Peter gives his testimony of going to the Gentile there. But then after Peter speaks, the multitude kept silence in verse 12. Paul explains what he's been doing out there, and peace is made. Now, after they had held their peace, verse 13, James pipes up. He's putting some dots together, and he says, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Well, Peter already did that, but okay, James, what do you have to say? He says, Simeon, which is the only place you find Peter called that in the scriptures, very interesting. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles, take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets. James has been the resident scripture, you know, fact checker is what he's doing here. But Peter said is true, as if Peter needs the help. Peter said is true. He says, the scriptures speak of this. They agree the words of the prophets, as is written. Verse 16, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Amen. James says the scriptures speak about Gentiles receiving the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right? No, we've already gone through the Bible study. You know that. Of course they do. That's what James brings up. He says, what's wrong with these Gentiles getting blessed? And Peter says, well, the Lord sent me to a Gentile. And James says, the scriptures speak about Gentiles. Well, the only problem here is with unbelieving Israel. Why don't they get on board with this? And they're not. He's quoting, by the way, Amos chapter 9. Go back to Amos. Where's that? It's after Joel, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos chapter 9. Amos 9:8. Amos, like many of the minor prophets, speaks about not just justice of God toward Israel, but also their coming kingdom and how God is going to bring them back after judgment. Amos chapter 9 in verse 8. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom. Wow. Who's that, I wonder? It must be some Gentile nation. That's Israel. Okay. The sinful kingdom. And I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. There's judgment here. So God pours out his wrath on the earth. The sinful kingdoms, including Israel, get destroyed, except that he doesn't utterly destroy the house of Jacob. Why? Because there's a remnant that gets saved, right? Verse 9, for lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. So if you are Israel, and you say, God's not going to judge me, you're getting judged. Okay. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David. So in the day of God's judgment and his wrath, what happens? He'll raise up the tabernacle of David, and I will raise up his ruins and build it as in the days of old. Do you know what is not built today? And every dispensationalist knows it who's watching Israel. Their temple is not. So it will be. They're getting the red heifers together. You know, I get it. It's setting the stage. We dealt with that during our seminar. In the day of God's wrath, that's when he rebuilds the Jerusalem like the days of old. Amen. Notice what happens. He rebuilds it that they may possess the remnant of Edom. That's the remnant of a Gentile right there. And of all the heathen, the remnant of the heathen, which are called by my name. Why does he call them a remnant? He just poured out his wrath on the sinful kingdom just a few verses ago. So you got to survive that. You survive that, then if you're called by his name, Israel will possess you. Well, that sounds like they've conquered the world. Exactly. Amen. Israel's kingdom will be the nation above the nations. If you survived his wrath, you'll be in Israel's kingdom on the earth. And what does James say in Acts 15 about these Gentiles saying, you know, we shouldn't make them Jews because the scripture also says Gentiles get blessed when he rebuilds the temple of David. You know, so we should be glad these Gentiles are getting blessed. Like, yeah, you should. Paul says in Galatians 2, they didn't add anything to me. Paul already knew the prophecies about the Gentiles. He already knew that you and I aren't even fulfilling those prophecies. It's just affirmed and agreed by the prophets that Gentiles get blessed. We get blessed apart from Israel. You see? Gentiles enter God's kingdom after the wrath of God is poured out upon all nations and some remain. Only a remnant of Israel is blessed. Likewise, only a remnant of the Gentiles get blessing. This means if faithful Israel is not returned, then these Gentiles cannot be blessed by them. Right? If Gentiles get blessed by faithful Israel and faithful Israel is not here, then those prophetic Gentiles can't get blessed. Those prophecies can't be fulfilled literally. Right? They have to be blessed another way, if there is another way. But we don't know of another way, according to the scriptures. But then mystery was revealed. And we know that way. Look at Matthew 25. Jesus teaches this. He teaches remnant Israel and remnant Gentiles. Matthew 25, verse 31. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus. He left the earth. He's going to come back. When he comes back, he'll set up Israel's kingdom. Yes? Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. By the way, with him will be sitting 12 apostles sitting on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But not the only people need to be judged. The whole world needs to be judged. And it says, before him shall be gathered all nations. Those are Gentiles. This is a judgment of Gentiles that is beyond the wrath. Let me draw a picture for you here. This is future Israel's return. Christ comes down on the earth. We have Israel's mountain kingdom. Here's Israel's kingdom. It's on a mountain above the others because the other nations are down here, and they'll all come to Israel. Isaiah 2, verse 2. When Christ comes, he'll pour out wrath. Step one, right? Step two is a judgment. Step two is a judgment. Before you get into this kingdom, you got to pass the judgment. Well, I thought he already gave the judgment. Well, that was just his wrath. Whoever remains here is going to be a judgment. Well, all the nations come to him, and he'll separate one from another, one nation from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the Now, these are all Gentiles, folks. These aren't Jews. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them in his right hand, come, you blessed my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You want to be on his right hand. Okay? Those enter in. He says, you get the kingdom because I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. People take those verses and say, well, I want to end the kingdom, so I got to do those things. I wanted the kingdom, so I need to forgive my enemies. I wanted the kingdom, so I need to do good. I need to bring peace among nations. I need to help bring back Christian virtue in our country, and then maybe I'll get to heaven. Like, that's why they get that. Do these good things, you'll enter the kingdom. But who are they doing them for? You say, well, obviously the naked and the hungry. And those are good things to do, folks. But he's judging Gentiles. What about the Jews? They're not at this judgment. Why not? Because these good things the Gentiles did were toward Israel. That's what the judgment's about. In verse 37, then shall the righteous answer, those that enter in, they'll say, yay, we're getting in, but Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger took thee in or naked? We didn't see you. Or when saw thee sick or in prison or came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And how this is spoken of thousands of times in the last centuries is that this means the poor and the hunger and the naked in this world. But these are the nations. Some of them are the poor, hungry, and the naked of this world. It's talking about how they blessed the least of the king's brethren. Who are the king's brethren? Where is he sitting, by the way? Jerusalem. Who are his brethren? Israel. Not all of Israel. Remnant Israel. Faithful Israel. How'd you treat these people? Okay. Now, why would it be a special thing to treat the remnant of Israel? Because unbelieving Israel takes the mark of the beast. Yeah. It's not blessing Israel. It's blessing the remnant of Israel, faithful Israel. Those that will be castigated for the rejection of the world system because they trust the Messiah. Remnant Israel. The nations that bless them, just like the Canaanite woman, the centurion, who avoid unbelieving Israel and go to the Messiah in their nation, they get in the kingdom. Step three, you get to climb the mountain and get blessed. Gentiles in the kingdom. Okay. Matthew 25, verse 40. The king says, as least these my brethren, his brethren are Israel. Paul says, my heart is for my kinsmen, my brethren in the flesh. There's Israel in the flesh, there's Israel in the faith. You can't be Israel at all unless you're in the flesh. But you won't be Israel in that kingdom unless you're Israel in the faith. There's Gentiles in the flesh and there's Gentiles in the faith. Only Gentiles in the faith get the kingdom. Okay, and that's what prophecies talk about. Look at Matthew 5, verse 14. We'll end here. Jesus spoke about this as he came to Israel, trying to create a nation of believers, those that would receive him. And he preached on the Sermon on the Mount to Israel about his kingdom. When we turn verses like this into kids' songs and remove it from its context, we teach adults that the context doesn't matter when it does. Jesus here is speaking to Israel, and he says in Matthew 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. Well, if the whole every nation of the world is salt, that's a pretty salty dish, folks. Israel is the salt. The rest of the earth are the nations. Okay, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. That's not America. A city is Zion. They are the light. What gives them the light? Their Messiah. Okay, this is Zion, and they're a city on a hill. Just like moths to a flame, the nations go to the light on the hill. That's what the kingdom looks like. And so verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When the nations see Israel and see what has happened to them and what they're doing. They go to them to learn of God's laws. Look at Revelation 21. This is not simply my interpretation here. This is the scripture interpreting itself in Revelation 21 and 22. In Revelation 21, there's a new heaven and a new earth, and John sees the bride of the Lord, the bride of the Lamb, coming down from heaven. And it's not the church, the body of Christ. It's a city. It's New Jerusalem. Because that city is going to be a light on a hill. That city is going to draw everyone to it. It describes the city in Revelation 21, verse 22, way down at the end of the chapter. It says, I saw no temple therein. There's no temple in this city. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. There's a light of the world, isn't it? And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations, Gentiles, of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Who are these people? Are these every Gentile that ever lived? It's the nations which are saved.
Amen.
What about the nations that weren't saved? They're not there at all, right? This is a remnant of the nations, isn't it? It's that which remains after God's wrath and judgment. These nations, isn't every Gentile that ever lived? It's those that passed the wrath and the judgment. Just like this Israel is not every Israelite that ever lived, it's Israel that believed in the Messiah and received the covenant, right? So the nations which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. Why do they bring their glory and honor? Because they trust the God of Israel.
Amen.
They're going to hear the laws of Israel, right? Go back to verse 12 and 14. They're going to this city, remember? They're going to the Jerusalem here. People say, well, this bride is us. Well, then explain this to me in verse 12. This city, as is described by John, had a wall great and high and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. There's only 12 gates. Which tribe are you a part of? Oh, no. We don't go through the gates. We're on the foundations of verse 14. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and then the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Oh, where's Paul? He's not in that city. Paul was a Jew, saved by God's grace, out of due time, right? His name is not on this city. He's not one of the 12 apostles. Okay? There's 12 tribes, 12 apostles. This is God's kingdom in Israel, blessing and being a light to the world. All the nations walk in the light of it. And these Gentiles fulfill prophecy. These Gentiles are not you. And so, look at Romans 11. As we've seen in today's lesson, at the time that Israel returns and their salvation, which we spoke about last weekend, at the time of Israel's salvation, which Romans 11 calls their fullness. If through their fall salvation comes to the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Their salvation, their glory, their light, their fulfillment. Right? At the time of Israel's salvation, all nations come to its glory. The nations that are saved, the remnant of the nations. And this is why Romans 11, 25, 26, and 27 are so important. Because Paul teaches that Israel will return. They will be saved. And because Israel will be saved in the future, all the nations of the world will walk in the salvation of God.
Amen.
You may look around now and you don't see everyone being saved. Guess what? That's par for the course today. But when Israel gets saved, all the world will see the glory of God. Romans 11, verse 25, he says, I would not have you be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, thinking that this is the greatest thing God will ever do. It's not. It's the greatest thing God's ever done, not that he will ever do. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, I won't get into that right now, but we've talked a lot about Gentiles coming in today. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, unto Israel, when I shall take away their sins. The sins he takes away is from remnant believing Israel.
Amen.
And he says, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but especially the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. The gifts and calling of God without repentance. His teaching is Israel will return. Faithful Israel. Why do the Gentiles get it when Israel doesn't? Because they believed. Believing Israel will return and they will have their kingdom on the earth and then all the nations will come to their light and their glory. The nations of those that are saved. But not you. You're a member of the body of Christ. You're in heavenly places, folks. That's a glory that transcends everything on the earth. So you reign with the Lord in heavenly places. Hopefully that was a nice bonus lesson to the seminar about remnant Gentiles. Any questions or comments about all of prophecy?